Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Tonight at Christian Apostolic Church, hear Mark McCool from Oceanside, Mississippi, in the grand finale of our first Fresh Oil Time of Anointing at Christian Apostolic Church. You are invited to come and be with us, and you will be blessed. Last week, we brought you part one of a message entitled The Greatest Miracle, recorded in our sanctuary at Christian Apostolic Church. First, we heard from Elder Baron Claypool, a state trooper who was miraculously healed from celiac disease, something doctors cannot cure. And then we began to hear from Zach. Today we'll hear the rest of Zach's testimony. He was struck and killed by lightning and wonderfully raised to life through the help of the Lord God Almighty. Let's roll the tape.
People can argue all day about the Bible, and they will always have another question to ask you, thinking that they're going to make you stumble. But they cannot argue with the proof. They cannot argue about your testimony. They cannot argue with you about what you know that God did for you. Amen?
Amen.
Well, 7 months ago, tomorrow will be 7 months. It's amazing because it feels like just like yesterday. But I was struck in the head by lightning. Most of you know this story. I was on a baseball field, not around metal, not holding metal, not near metal. There was a huge cell phone tower on the about 100 yards away from me. There was little kids holding metal bats, swinging them around the air. Why it didn't hit them and why it hit me, I have no idea. But to this day, I thank God that it was me.
Think of that.
I thank God that it was me. Not because of me. Just like Brother Barron said, it's nothing that I did. It's nothing that I deserve, believe me. I've made so many mistakes. So many mistakes. I don't deserve this. I didn't deserve a second chance. But on that day, it hit me in the top of the head and traveled through my body, and I was laying on the field dead, lifeless. A young man ran to me. It was actually at the church that we were at. It was the pastor's son. And as he got to me, he said there was smoke coming out of my mouth, my ears, and my nose. He instantly started CPR. It was the ugliest thing he's ever seen, he said. And so in between breaths, he said he was praying, and his dad was there, and he was beside him, and he was praying. And at that point, think about what your faith would be like. It's hard to have faith when you see something like that. It's hard to think God can do anything when you have a dead young man that you had just met, and there's smoke coming out of his mouth. There's his clothes are all torn, and you don't hear a heartbeat. It's hard to have faith. So for half an hour, as they continued, the EMTs finally got there. They put me in the ambulance. My dad's cousin got him on the phone, and he had told him what had happened, and I just can't imagine the way they felt. But something amazing happened while he was on the phone. My dad's cousin said, "Well, hold on, we're going to pray." And that ambulance, they saw as it was rocking back and forth, and they could tell that they were working on me and trying to get the breath, the heartbeat to come back. And the ambulance stopped right before they started praying. He said, I thought they were done. I thought they had given up. But they continued to pray. But God.
Amen.
Where would we be today? But God. He said, as they continued to pray, within 5 seconds, they said, "Oh my goodness, the doors are opening." Faith kind of dropped a little bit further because now they're ready to hear, well, he's gone. The doors opened and they said, "We have a pulse, we have a pulse." And at that point, I want to know what they were doing in that ambulance that they weren't doing on that field 30 seconds after it happened. There wasn't a thing different besides they got a hold of God outside of that ambulance. God saw. He said, "Well, maybe he's," when they were praying on the field, he said, "Well, if I do it right now, then, you know, it wouldn't be as awesome as if I did it a half hour later." In the Bible, Jesus waited 4 days before he came to raise Lazarus up. Now, Brother Stone King talked about this at CCYC, where I was this weekend. And he said, in the Jewish culture, you were not dead until 3 days after. So he went ahead and just waited 4 days just to prove him wrong. Maybe he was thinking that. Maybe he said, well, if I do it right now, it just wouldn't be as great as if I had done it in 30 minutes. Because for every minute that I was dead, there's a 10% chance of brain damage. That's 300%. I should not be standing here. I should not be able to talk to you. And after I got to the hospital, they said, we don't know what to do with it. No one survives from this. No one. My family doctor, when I got back, said, no one survives from this. What do we do? And he had to send me to someone else. And even that guy, he didn't know what to do. However, when I first came home, I came home with a walker. Now, they said I'd never live. When I got to the hospital, they said, we don't know what's going to happen. He might not even wake up. And if he does wake up, we don't know if he's going to be himself. We don't know if he's going to be able to breathe on his own. We don't know. And this was at the first hospital. But at the second, on the way to the second hospital, now, they told us my lungs, my kidneys were fried. But on the way to the second hospital, I was on a respirator. And they said, they called ahead and said, we don't know what they seen at that first hospital. But now he's breathing over top of the machine. Now, they told me I wouldn't live. Okay, so I'm not the one proving them wrong, but God is. So, little check mark right there. Next, they said, well, he probably won't be himself when he wakes up. The next day, I woke up, and I can faintly remember looking over and seeing my parents crying and asking what's wrong. I should have never been able to talk. I should have never been able to know that was my parents. As they sent me home, with a walker. If you knew me before this, that's not good enough for me. I like people to help me, but I don't like to need help, if that makes sense. And so I was determined. And I knew that God could do it instantly. I knew that he could just blink his eye, wiggle his finger, and it'd be done. That's not a big task for him. We think it is, but it's really not. And so, I was kind of frustrated. One night, I just asked him, I was like, God, I don't know what you're doing. It's like, I know I could be healed right now. But as I thought about it, if he would have healed me instantly, and if I was able to walk on my own instantly, would the place, everywhere that I go to testify, would they believe my testimony? Would they believe what God has done for me? And so, you know, I became okay with it. I said, God, I kind of understand what's going on here, and I know that in the future you're going to help me. And so, little by little, I believe he's helping me. I know he's helping me. Because when I came home, I couldn't make it up these steps. I would kind of wiggle my way up on this one, and then I'd have to grab this and pull myself up. If you saw, I walked straight up those steps without any trouble. And so they told me I'd never walk, and I'm walking fine. Matter of fact, when I came home, I kind of walked with a little limp. I thought I was going to have that forever. But now, if you saw me walking through the mall, walking through Walmart, you wouldn't think anything was wrong with me. People used to walk up to me and ask, are you okay? Do you need help? I said, no, I just got struck by lightning. And maybe that's the reason that he did it, because I got to tell my testimony to random people. And so, you know, little by little, I began to progress, and I go to physical therapy every day. My physical therapist, I was doing some workout. I think she was stretching me or something. And I said, do you think I'll be able to run one day like I used to? And she said, well, it's hard to judge, but I don't want to get your hopes up, because it's not very possible. It's not something that I'm... And I was just like, okay. That's all I needed. All I needed was one person to tell me that they didn't think it was possible for me to be able to run again. Because I like proving people wrong. And I know my God has been proving people wrong.
Amen.
He's in the business of proving doctors wrong.
Amen.
And so, that same physical therapist, I don't know if she's an assistant or she just works there, that same lady is now the one that stands beside of me as I jog on a treadmill. That exact same lady is the one that stands beside me and watches me jog on a treadmill. They also said I'd never jump. As in, again, I love proving people wrong. There's just something. But I can jump about 3 inches off the ground. Down at Youth Congress, I was getting prayed for. This might not be a big thing to you guys, but it's big for me. After everybody was done praying for me, I began to jump. And my feet, I know, were coming a foot off the ground. I know, I could feel it. That just lets me know that God is not done. That tells me He's still working. So regardless of how bad it looks on the outside, my dad told a story last night. He heard someone else tell it. He said, it's like you take a sledgehammer and you hit concrete. You don't see it on the top, on the surface. You don't see any damage, but on the bottom it's cracking. God's doing work in the background.
Amen.
And it's beginning to show.
Yes.
He's doing work inside of my legs. That's starting to show. And I'm starting to see. And people around me are starting to see. And I'm... Don't be surprised if the next time you guys see me, I'm running full speed. Or I'm jumping. I'm jumping over chairs. Don't be surprised, because that's the God I serve. And I just know it's a matter of time. If there's anything, any problem, any situation, I don't care who you are, what your status is, what you've done in the past week, you don't feel like God can use you, you don't feel like God can heal you because of the sin in your life, because what you're doing. One, my God is no respecter of persons.
That's right.
My God is a forgiving God.
Amen.
My God is a healer.
Amen.
A provider.
Amen.
And He can touch any need in this house tonight.
Amen.
I believe that. And I know there's others in here that believe that. So why would you leave the same way you came when there's a possibility to be changed?
Amen.
In the blink of an eye?
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.
As amazing as it is when someone has been miraculously healed from celiac disease and had their vision miraculously improved better than it was before they were sick, as amazing as it is to say that someone struck and killed by lightning has been raised from the dead, as amazing as that is, there is an even greater miracle in this house tonight. Amen. I want to tell you there's a miracle even greater than God raising someone from the dead naturally. And it's when God raises you from death spiritually by filling you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, just so you can get an understanding here, I want to tell you that almost everyone in this room tonight has had an even greater miracle than being raised from the dead naturally. Everyone in this house that you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, would you raise your hand right now? I think you come too late to tell me God doesn't do this anymore. Amen. So I just want to give you a couple of testimonies. One is, let me mention that I asked these two brethren to focus on their natural healing when I asked them to testify. But I want to tell you that even greater than healing from celiac disease, God poured His Spirit into Brother Baron Claypool. Even greater than raising him up from the dead after being killed by lightning, about 10 years prior to that, God filled Brother Zach with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. These men were water baptized in the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us there are two things you need to do for the remission of your sins. One is to repent, which means to turn to God and turn away from sin. Amen. It means to turn your life around. When a soldier is marching one way and he's told to do an about face, the Greek word for that is the word that's used in the scripture there. It's translated in the English as repent. It literally means to turn.
It means to do a 180-degree turn. We're born with a sin curse. We're born with our life pointed the wrong way. And as soon as we get old enough to begin to act on our sin-cursed nature, we begin to do those sins that our cursed nature leads us to. To repent means to turn away from your sin-cursed nature, turn away from that path that leads to hell, and turn to God. But when you turn to God and you make a pledge to Him, you're making a pledge that's bigger than you can keep. When you tell God you want to serve Him for the rest of your life, you're making a pledge. You're writing a check that your bank account can't cover. You need His help to be able to make that happen. And so not only do we repent, but the Bible says, and this is the thing that is so amazing to me, the gospel can be summed up in this nutshell. Jesus' death on the cross, His burial in the tomb, and His resurrection from the dead. And when you repent, the Bible teaches us that that is your old sinful lifestyle dying. Just like Jesus died on the cross, you die out to sin when you repent. And then Jesus was buried in a tomb, and the Bible tells us in the book of Romans that we are buried with Him by baptism unto death. And so my repentance matches with His death on the cross, and then my water baptism in Jesus' name matches with His burial in the tomb. Praise God. Some of y'all already see where I'm going. Then the Bible tells us He came out of the tomb with new life. And when God fills you with the Holy Ghost, He gives you power to live a new life. He literally changes you from a sin-cursed creature into being a precious child of God. The Bible says you are a new creation. You are a new creature. Amen. So I just want to tell you just a couple of testimonies. Amen. One testimony that I'll never forget. When Sister Joseph and I were teaching Sunday school at the North Charleston Apostolic Church before we went to work at headquarters, and they had us teaching Sunday school. And Sister Murphy, every Sunday school class that we ever taught, we taught those children the gospel. And we taught them that Acts 2:38 is the obedient faith response to the gospel. Don't ever let anybody tell you Acts 2:38 is the gospel. It's not. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. What Acts 2:38 is your obedient faith response to the gospel. And we taught both sides of that to those children. And we would have super church right in our own class. Even if there wasn't a super church going on Sunday school wide, we had our own Sunday super church right in our own Sunday school class. And those precious little children would repent, and God would fill them with the Spirit. They would speak with tongues. I'm talking about little tiny kids, folks. And we would get their parents' permission, and their parents would come and see them. We would baptize those little children in Jesus' name. And I remember this one family, these two little girls, sisters. We watched them repent. We watched them receive the Holy Ghost. We got their permission. We got them baptized in Jesus' name. And then it was only a short time later, those little girls, their mother and their grandmother and other members of their family, were all in a car together, and they were killed. And what an amazing thing to see all these little caskets, but to know that those two little girls were dancing on streets of gold because we reached them in a Sunday school class before their date with destiny. I want to tell you tonight, you do not have any promise of tomorrow. You do not know what tomorrow holds. You do not need to walk out of this place without getting some fire in your fireplace. You need to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, I've never been to Bible school. I've never had 30 weeks of Bible study. I've not attended your church for a long time. You can't even imagine how many people have received the Holy Ghost on their very first service in a Spirit-filled church. Amen. In fact, I dare say there's probably someone here tonight. And with regard to that, I want to give you one more testimony. Recently, this young man contacted me on Facebook, and he just said, I just want to remind you who I am. And I wrote back to him, and I said, I'll never forget who you are. And there was we had a young lady in our church. She was beautiful inwardly and outwardly. She was a godly, wonderful, godly young lady, modest, and just precious young lady, living for God, full of the Holy Ghost. And there were these two boys at her school that both of them had a crush on her. They were both sweet on her. And these boys went to a denominational church that didn't preach about or have anybody receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. These two young men, they were kind of in a war over who was going to get the girl. So they came to church with her. And Brian Walker and James White, I'll never forget them. And Sister Todd, they sat, Brother Todd, they sat right back about in that vicinity, kind of right where you are. And we had a blowout of a service. I mean a toad strangler. We had a gully washer of a service. And tonight you saw as people were moving around the church, worshiping, and Brother Claypool dancing before the Lord, there was, I don't know, 100, 200 people doing that. It was just dancing in the Spirit and people just worshiping God everywhere. And I was supposed to preach that night. You ever have one of those nights when the preacher doesn't get to preach? I was supposed to preach that night, but I didn't really get to preach. But at one point, I looked out over the crowd, and I thought, well, I'm just going to get in the microphone and say one word of exhortation. We had a family, Sister Murphy. They were letting the devil bind them down. And everybody had such liberty to worship, and they were just sitting there like they were in chains. And I began to appeal to them. I started kind of gesturing in their direction, and I said, there is someone here tonight. You want to get out in the aisle and praise the Lord with us in the dance. You're wanting to get out and dance. You're wanting to have liberty in the Holy Ghost, but you're letting the devil hold you back. You need to get out in the aisle and praise the Lord with us. And as I was gesturing to them, they were ignoring me. But these two denominational young men thought that I was talking to them. They thought that I was pointing to them. And I noticed, I got amazed as I looked. I saw Brian Walker turn to James White. And from that distance, in that all of that noise of music and worship, I couldn't hear what they were saying, but I could see the expression on their face. And one of them turned to the other one and said, and the other one looked back and said, and so all at once, the both of them decided to get out in the aisle and praise the Lord in the dance. And so they just turned and walked to the edge. And when they got into the aisle, they just started. And you know, when we praise the Lord, there's all this unction and anointing. They were just like if they were at a disco or something. And I looked back and I thought, oh my goodness, these visitors that don't even have the Holy Ghost are praising God better than some of our Holy Ghost-filled saints. I got to get back there and pray for these boys. And so I started trying to make my way through people. And as I was trying to make my way to them, I looked, and all of a sudden, tears were flowing down their face. And then suddenly their feet weren't moving anymore, but their hands went up in the air. And before I could ever get to them, both of them began to speak with other tongues as God filled them with the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you tonight, that is a miracle greater than being raised from the dead. That's a miracle greater than being healed from celiac disease. Having your life turned around by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to prophesy to you, someone's going to receive the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. I believe at least one of them is going to be named Brother Caleb. Amen. There is such, can you feel the faith in this house? Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's just praise the Lord together. Glory! Hallelujah! Now I want to ask everyone to stand. I want to ask everyone to stand. We're about to see a great move of God. Not only are we about to do a baptism, but we're going to have an altar service in which the Lord God Almighty is going to pour out His Spirit. Now this is what I want you to do. I want you to turn to everyone on all sides around you, and with a very sacred and solemn tone, I want you to ask them, do you have the Holy Ghost like Pastor Joseph is preaching about? Turn to him and ask him right now, everybody. After you've asked them, turn to someone else and ask someone else, do you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost like Pastor Joseph is preaching about tonight? Praise God. Now, if anyone told you no, I want you to remember who it is. Remember what they said. Amen. Now, I want you to turn to all of those same people. Turn to everyone around you on all sides. And ask them, do you need a renewing of the Holy Ghost? Do you need a renewing of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Now, when we turned to Elder Rusty Sandy and asked him if he needed a renewing of the Holy Ghost, he smiled and said, every day. Now, I want to tell you, the reason why Elder Rusty Sandy said he needs a renewing of the Holy Ghost is because he likes to talk in tongues 10 times a day. And he's only talked in tongues 9 times today. But I want to tell you, that's not really who we're talking about. I'm not talking about someone like that. I'm talking about if you have not spoken with tongues in a long time and you know you're away from God. That's who we're talking about. Now, right now, I want you to turn, and everyone that told you they do not have the Holy Ghost and everyone that told you that they needed a renewing of the Holy Ghost, would you turn and get them by the hand and say, come on, let's go to this altar and let's let God do for you the greatest miracle that He can do for any person. Amen. Get them by the hand right now and bring them to this altar. We're about to see the Lord pour His Spirit out in this house tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of you prayer warriors come up also as they're coming. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Caleb's coming to receive the Holy Ghost. His parents coming with him. Any of you family that wants to come and pray with him, praise God. Now we're going to pray a prayer of repentance together before the Lord pours His Spirit out. Amen. All of you prayer warriors that want to come join us, amen. We're going to pray a corporate prayer of repentance, and each of us individually repenting as we pray. Amen. The very first step in turning to God, the step of repentance, turning away from sin, telling the Lord you're sorry for your sins, determining to change your life. And I want to ask all of you to join me.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord, we repent before you right now. We repent before you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, with sorrow for every sin, asking for your forgiveness, Lord, wash us by your blood. Forgive every sin,
Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Now, for just a couple of minutes, I need everyone's attention. Everyone look right up this way. First thing I want to tell you is that when you pray that prayer of repentance sincerely from your heart, the Lord Jesus hears you. Amen. And you need to understand that repentance is part of a process that involves water baptism and receiving the Holy Ghost. But did you hear me say the word process? It's a process. Amen. And there's some steps in that process. But you need to understand that it is God who gave you the faith to begin that process. And it is God who gave you the gift of repentance. The Bible tells us repentance is a gift from God. We don't just conjure up faith on our own. We don't just conjure up repentance on our own. These things are gifts from God. Don't let anybody tell you that repentance and water baptism and receiving the Holy Ghost is salvation by works. No, salvation by works is where you try to earn your way into heaven by giving money to the poor or whatever. That's salvation by works. Or maybe trying to live according to the Mosaic law in perfection. Trying to earn it by being good enough. But when you obey the gospel, that is faith and claiming the gifts of God. It's not salvation by works. Don't let anybody try to fool you into that. Amen. But you need to understand that when you pray a prayer of repentance from the bottom of your heart, the Lord Jesus has heard you. Amen. And He has already lodged the first part of that process of forgiveness for your sins. So you need to understand, if He has heard you, if He has heard your prayer, then you are done with that.
Right.
I want you to hear me. You cannot get the Holy Ghost without repenting. But you cannot get the Holy Ghost while you are repenting. You have to repent, and then you have to stop and know that He heard you, and then you begin to have faith to receive the Holy Ghost. It is two separate steps.
Amen.
So right now, we have prayed a prayer of repentance from the bottom of our hearts, and now we are moving on from that into worshiping for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now I want all of you to listen.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.